Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com, and this is Wednesdays with Walton. It is my weekly visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com, brought to you in brilliant clarity by Lordo's Diamonds, family-owned and operated for over 60 years. Mike and Jimmy Lordo, they're there at the store every day. They'll welcome the opportunity to work with you, and you will enjoy the relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere and selection at Lordo's Diamonds. It truly is second to none. 9222 Clayton Road, lordosdiamonds.com, lordosdiamonds.com. Coming up, we'll visit with Brian Walton. He was just out in Arizona taking a look at some of the teams out there, in particular, central teams like Cincinnati, Milwaukee, and Chicago. He has a great article up on the site right now at thecardinalnation.com. Right now, there are six players remaining from the team that went to the playoffs of the Cardinals in 2015. Why has that happened? The direction of the Cardinals since that time. We'll get into Francisco Peña, his injury. What does that mean for the Cardinals? The trickle-down effect into the minor leagues. Dylan Carlson, you've seen a lot of him. His future, the immediate and the future beyond this year. Max Schrock, Tommy Edman, Adolis Garcia, Randy Arozarena. And we'll also talk about the Cardinals Hall of Fame. All that and more coming up. It is Wednesdays with Walton. Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, Cardinals fans, Dan McLaughlin here from my friends at Schnucks. No, it's still not baseball season, but we can start getting ready. If you haven't already, start spring training by downloading the Schnucks Rewards app. That way, when you're loading up on the brats, the burgers, and everything else you need for Cardinals games, you'll be earning points and money off at Schnucks. Think of all those savings over the course of the entire season, and make sure you shop at Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app today. It's almost here. Get ready at Schnucks. Wednesdays with Walton on Scoops with DannyMac.com as we come your way from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios and Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And again, Brian, 365 every single day writing about the minor leagues and the major leagues. And he is, as we all know, a world traveler. He's gathering up his rest right now, returning from Arizona. Brian, as always, good to visit with you on Wednesdays. And let us know what you were doing out in Arizona. What was going on out there?
Well, I had two things. One was the annual draft for Labor, the League of Alternative Baseball Reality sponsored. It's a fantasy set of leagues sponsored by USA Today Sports. And I participate in the National League. The other reason I was there was I had four spring training games on my docket in 3 days. With the chance to see the Cubs, the Reds, and the Brewers all twice. So that was nice to see the National League Central competition up close. And I'll tell you, it was interesting. One of the games I saw was the Brewers at the Cubs at Sloan Park. Now, Sloan Park is relatively new, you know, which is where the Cubs play. The seating is 15,000. Seating is 12,000. They drew 15,000 on a Saturday, which included the berm seats being full. I mean, it was just amazing. 15,000 at a spring training game. Amazing.
It really is. I mentioned this on the game the other day on Fox Sports Midwest. I was talking to Chris Welsh, who does the analyst work for the Reds, and he said the buzz around Reds camp has not been like this in years. Did you get a chance to be around camp much? Did you get a sense about the buzz with Cincinnati?
Certainly, it was in the stands. The Reds fans, they traveled extremely well, and there's a lot of excitement in the young players. I mean, we saw about the Puigs and Camson all joining the team, Sonny Gray. But Nick Senzel, who's an infield prospect, who they've now moved to center field to replace Billy Hamilton, looks like a great young player. Guys like Philip Irvin, They've got a nice young core on the offensive side in Cincinnati. The question is going to be like it is with the Brewers. You know, how good is their pitching going to be?
It's interesting. Someone asked me the other day, are the Cardinals in the best division in baseball? And I started to think long and hard about it. And I said, yeah, I do right now. I think it's probably the most competitive from top to bottom. And 1 through 4, I think take your pick. 5 maybe is Pittsburgh right now, but they always seem to hang around. Clint Hurdle gets the most out of his teams. I just think it's going to be a fun summer and a competitive game inside the Central, it seems like, night after night.
Yeah, and you know, it even started in spring training, Dan. This Brewers at Cubs game I talked about, you know, normally in spring training games when teams travel on the road, they take 3-4 starters. This game, the Brewers had 7 of their starting 8, only
wow.
Ryan Braun, who I think maybe is recovering from injury. The Brewers had 7 of their starting 8 and 2 of their starting pitchers appear in this game against the Cubs. They clearly wanted to win, even though it was spring training,
yeah.
Because they're playing the Cubs.
Absolutely. At thecardinalnation.com, let's jump into the Cardinals. I thought you had a really fascinating article. Only 6 remain right now from the St. Louis Cardinals 2015 playoff club. 1, why write it, and what did you get out of writing that particular article? I found it very interesting, but explain it to our listeners.
Well, the idea was I wanted to look back to the time when the Cardinals were last in the playoffs, which obviously was 2015. And I wanted to look at what's happened to the roster since that time. And it's amazing the number of transactions. You don't think of the change being revolutionary because it came, you know, in such small doses. But yet the roster has turned over at a 72% rate, and that's not counting the interim multiple choices that occurred. So, for example, you know, the reserve catcher, the change only counted once, even though they went from multiple iterations of backup catchers during that time. And the core of the club, of course, are the Molinas and Carpenters and Wongs and Wainwrights. But even Jed Jerko, interestingly enough, was acquired after the Cardinals exited the 2015 playoffs and before the 2016 season. So, you know, the number of players have been relatively few, but really what caught my attention when I did this analysis, Dan, was that my expectation was that a majority of the players who had been added since then were, products of the farm system. You know, we see the Flahertys and Gombers and Hudsons and all. But in reality, what I found was that the highest source of replacements on the Cardinals roster in the last 3 years have been via trade route.
Right.
8 players. And, you know, when you think about it, then, you know, you start to look at the O'Neills and many others who joined the organization that way. I mean, even the Genesis Cabrera, and of course, Paul Goldschmidt, of course, is the front runner. But the Cardinals have really been aggressive via trades, you know, finding guys to stock the organization out the team. Now, prospects aren't far behind with 6 also, as well as free agents. But it's been a real balance in terms of how they built the team. And then the one guy who really stands out, John Brevia, who was not only a Rule 5 addition, but a minor league Rule 5 addition. So the Cardinals really did their homework in finding John Brevia.
Yeah, that was an amazing find. I was talking to a scout the other day, and they said, boy, the Cardinals just are able to find some of these hidden gems, and Brevia is one of those guys that provides great depth for the Cardinals in their bullpen. You mentioned catching. Cardinals get some bad news yesterday. Having a very good camp, Francisco Peña battling with Matt Wieters for the backup spot, both on minor league deals, both have outs in their contracts towards the tail end of spring training. How do you think this injury, which, you know, it could be 10 to 14 days, and with these kind of side injuries, obliques, whatever the case may be, who knows how long this is going to be? You don't like to speculate, but we know he's going to miss some time. How do you think this affects the Cardinals and then the trickle-down effect of what it may mean to the minor leagues?
Well, for Peña himself, it's sort of adding injury to insult in a way, in that I'm sure he expected that he was going to be the backup catcher this year, and the fact that Wieters became available at a very reasonable price for the Cardinals, changed the picture and instilled some competition where it didn't look like there was really going to be any. Because, of course, prospect Andrew Kisner is not viewed not to be ready for the majors. So now that Wieters is here, you know, the view sort of changed, and the Wieters would be the incumbent just based on his past success in winning Gold Gloves and being an All-Star and all that. But as you said, Peña had played very well this spring, so he wasn't going to give up without a fight. Clearly, what this does now is put Wieters in the driver's seat to be added to the 40-man roster and be Molina's backup, at least to start the season. Now, Ping, as you said, could opt out of his contract. He could choose to try go somewhere else and see if the grass is greener. But I'll tell you know, as spring training ends, a number of catchers end up being cut loose by major league teams, and Pena's ability to find another job, frankly, on a major league contract would seem to be very, very low odds. Then he has to look at if he has to take a minor league deal, you know, where's a better shot than Memphis being the guy ready when the first injury occurs? So I hope that Pena, you know, looks at this opportunity and decides to stay with the Cardinals, because chances are before the season's out, you know, he'll find a way to be in St. Louis.
Let's talk about many of the minor leaguers that fans, if they're tuned into the games on Fox Sports Midwest, have a chance to catch on television, and seeing a lot of playing time from these minor leaguers. And of course, these are players that you write about day in and day out. You can read about them at thecardinalnation.com. And I mean day in and day out throughout the season and the off season. And by the way, the next televised game will be this weekend on Saturday locally. Dylan Carlson, this kid's 20 years old. He's in big league camp. All I've seen from him, Brian, is a guy that looks the part. Seen good throws, good jumps. He's had a diving catch. He's thrown out a man at the plate. He's had good at-bats. Only 20. This kid seems to be on the cusp of maybe getting over the hump and making a jump in the minor leagues.
Yeah, well, one of our prospect analysts, Derek Shore, has been saying for months that Dylan Carlson is his choice to be a breakout player at AA this year. And, you know, again, he's always been younger than his leagues. He's still going to continue to be younger than the average player in his leagues, than most of the players in his league, if he makes the Texas League this year. And by all indications are, he will. And Dylan Carlson, a switch-hitting outfielder, can play the corners, as you said, is good defensively as well. You know, he's a guy that's going to work his way into the St. Louis picture, not in 2019, but not too far down the road. Definitely a good young talent, guy to keep an eye on. But, you know, he's got a lot of outfielders ahead of him as well.
Yeah, we've also seen Adolis Garcia and Randy Arozarena. I feel that for both these guys, it's time to take the next step. And part of that is pitch recognition, cutting down on strikeouts, maybe drawing more walks, but consistency at the plate, clearly. What's the next step for those two players?
Well, Adolis Garcia has a leg up. He's a couple years older. He's also on the 40-man roster. So, you know, we did see him in St. Louis in 2018. So he has a leg up there, and that Arozarena is not yet on the 40-man roster. Arozarena's hit a little better this spring, although he struck out four times in, I think, like 18 plate appearances. So that's not ideal. As you said, pitch recognition is a big deal. Garcia has a very good arm in the outfield, but I think Arozarena is a better athlete overall. But Arozarena, you know, has this challenge. Not having a 40-man roster spot, he's behind not only Garcia, but also Lane Thomas and Justin Williams, who's currently hurt right now. So Arozarena is going to be in a crowded Memphis outfield just trying to fight for at-bats, let alone, you know, trying to move past these guys who are already on the 40-man. It's going to be a big year for Randy Arozarena, and really for Adolis Garcia as well, to prove that, hey, you know, he belongs at the top of that pecking order.
I want to remind everybody that if you're looking for a haircut, the best place to go, Hair Saloon for Men, founded in 1997. They now have 16 locations in St. Louis. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, a hot towel on a man, and a complimentary shoe shine. All of that for just $22 at Hair Saloon for Men. Blues back in action tonight. Best place to see the game, they'll be at Anaheim, is at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, 11 area locations. And you'll have a hat trick of savings with great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. That is the Bud Family Special, the Jack Daniel Cocktails, the $5.99 Blues Sampler, and so much more. Hot Shots, proud partner of the Blues, and your home for all the games all the time since 1990. We've seen a lot of Max Schrock, Tommy Edman. How about those two? Tommy Edman, I've said this a couple of times. I know you've been watching, but I'm looking at Daniel Descalso 2.0. Do you see that too when I'm watching Tommy Edman?
I like Tommy Edman more than Daniel Descalso.
Yeah.
And not to insult the guy who's been in the major leagues, you know, 6 or 8 years now, but Tommy Edman not only is a plus shortstop, and you know, Daniel Descalso by trade was primarily a second baseman. He's played some third. He can play short, although he's not really a great shortstop. Tommy Edman is a very, very solid defensive shortstop. who can also play second and third. And on the positive side, he's a good contact hitter, and he swings from both sides of the plate. So just as everybody was excited about Matt Wieters being a switch hitter, Tommy Edman can bring that as a potential reserve in the middle infield, because I don't think necessarily he's got the juice to unseat Paul DeJong or Colton Wong, but he's a guy that could be a very valuable infield reserve, and I think he's a guy that we'll see in St. Louis on the 25-man roster by next year, by 2020.
Do you think at some point that you'd see either one of those guys with an injury get a call up this year?
Well, Urias is on the 40-man roster,
right.
So he definitely has a shot to come up. But if as we discussed last time, I think if DeJong were to go down, I think Edmundo Sosa is probably the first in line for shortstop. Urias would be a good second base backup. Again, Edmund's not on the 40-man yet. He's got limited experience at AAA, so he's going to kind of be on the Andrew Kisner kind of schedule, I think, which says maybe a little more time at AAA, but who knows? If the guy really stands out, in Memphis and his performance moves into the top of the list, sure, we could see him. It's just, with a 40-man roster as tight as it's been, again, this is very, very elementary, but for every guy you want to put on the 40-man, you got to find someone to take off. And as we've seen with guys getting claimed off waivers like Bowman and Greg Garcia, when the Cardinals have been put guys on waivers recently, other teams have snapped them up.
Be interesting, too, by the end of spring, I'm curious what you think, but with the logjam that they have of pitchers, this does not include Carlos Martinez, who will start the year on the DL, but they've got certain guys that they do not want to lose, and John Gant still in the rotation, Mike Myers in the bullpen. Those two are out of options, so if they stick with the Cardinals, they've got to stay. There are those that have options that probably on other teams would be big leaguers. It'll be interesting in my mind, Brian, to maybe clear space on the 40-man if the Cardinals, by the end of spring, maybe get aggressive with some trades. See what teams have holes, have needs, and if the Cardinals have a fit and allows them maybe more wiggle room with their 40-man. I don't know. I mean, you've been around it a long time. You've seen it play out like this. But to me, that's something to keep an eye on.
Absolutely, and we saw that at the end of last spring training, and I'm sure that's what you're referring to. A year ago, they traded away both reliever Josh Lucas and infielder Brady Filera.
Sure.
And they were guys that were kind of on the back end of the 40-man roster, but they were guys that other organizations valued enough that they were willing to give up a lower, a guy in the prospect a little lower in the system that didn't require a 40-man spot. So, yeah, the Cardinals could definitely do that again. I think also, they could take a Gregerson and a Cecil and put them on the DL again, maybe the 60-day DL to clear up a 40-man spot. Because, the guy who got sent down like six times last year was Brevia because he had minor league options. But if you look, you got to say John Brevia is one of your seven, your top seven, eight, relievers in the bullpen. And it's just unfortunate that other guys' contracts force the Cardinals sometimes to keep players that maybe aren't the best one.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting the way that the season begins, how the Cardinals, because of off days, and it always seems to be this case, but, if they wanted to, they could carry an extra reliever. If not, they could go with an extra bench player, and that's something to keep in mind as well with roster construction as they break camp in Jupiter. Now, let's talk about the Cardinals Hall of Fame. You're on the committee that is behind the scenes with this for fans that don't know, and you take great pride in this, and as well as you should, and so many others do, and making sure that the right people are out there for the fans to vote for. There's a great, great group that's out there. You can make a case for every single one, and I know that this was something that you wanted to hit upon, and I did too, because the fan voting right now is open at Cardinals.com.
That's right. The online voting process opened last Friday on March 1st. It only runs through April 12th. And folks are able to vote for two candidates today. And on August 24th, the two players voted to the Hall of Fame from the Modern Era group will be among the sixth class elected and enshrined in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. And I'm sure you'll be leading that ceremony. The sixth that can be voted for: Matt Morris, Edgar Renteria, Keith Hernandez, Jason Isringhausen, Scott Rowland, John Tudor. as you said, you know, all of those have a good case, and you know, different folks will see it different ways. I personally favor Hernandez and Rowland, but I certainly wouldn't argue if any of the others get in as well. And I think over time, they all will.
You probably aren't thinking about this right now, but you should be. Summer's around the corner. All of a sudden, you have to turn on your AC. Everybody in town is going to do it at the same time. Get your annual AC tune-up right now. If you need that tune-up, call Design Air Heating and Cooling. If you need a new system, Design Air is the number one Trane dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a Trane. Check out my friends at DesignAirService.com. Proud partner of the St. Louis Cardinals. As you probably have noticed, I've been a big supporter of Jason Isringhausen. I think when you're the all-time saves leader on a club, hard not to keep you in that group of those great players. And clearly, what he's done in his post-playing career has had an impact on what the Cardinals are doing now, and I think that's something, a light should be shined on that as well. From those that you talk to, is that, you think, where the fan vote is going, and those that interact on your site at thecardinalnation.com, it's looking like Hernandez and maybe Rowland getting those two in?
Well, Hernandez is an interesting case because from a statistical perspective, I mean, he was dominating, but he also played the longest time ago of all these players. And so
right.
You know, there's a segment of fans who vote and who are probably listening to this podcast who may have become baseball fans during the time that Keith Hernandez was a star for the New York Mets. And they never really saw him as you know, such a standout first baseman, a great hitter, MVP for the Cardinals. So, you know, guys like Izzy and Rowland, I think, have a benefit because they played with the team more recently.
It's a good point. For those that are watching the games this weekend, I've talked about this a lot, but I've been using it as a reference, also in talking with the players, but it's great for me to get the backup on it. It's the Cardinal Nation's 2019 Prospect Guide. It is up on your website at The Cardinal Nation, but you can get that in a paperback version as well. And again, Brian, how do fans get that? And tell us what's in that prospect guide.
Yep, if you come to Cardinal Nation, you'll see a photo of the cover. It has the three third basemen right on the front, and I'm talking about Montero, Gorman, and Nunez on the top. And on the bottom is the Memphis AAA championship team from 2018 that's celebrating their title. And inside, there's 190 pages of information about the top 60 prospects in the system, historical information on former All-Stars and award winners, top statistical leaders. We break down the top prospects in a number of ways, age, sourcing, position. We also look at our sleeper picks. And then we also have a historical section where we go back and look at prior drafts and the prior international classes and so much more. So great information about Cardinals minor league history. A lot of information you can't get anywhere else.
It's great stuff. Brian, always great to visit with you. TheCardinalNation.com, TheCardinalNation.com. And I think you wanted to have a couple of giveaways before we say goodbye for the Cardinals Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
That's correct. I have for a listener here, a pair of passes to the Cardinals Hall of Fame Museum and a stadium tour. So it's a combination ticket. And, of course, you can see the Hall of Fame gallery. It's on the second floor of Cardinals Nation Bin Ballpark Village without a ticket. But this ticket will allow you to schedule a tour for two of the ballpark and then spend as long as you want in the Cardinals Hall of Fame Museum. And the way you can claim that, the first one who comes to the Cardinal Nation forum, the Cardinal Nation's message board, finds a thread that's Spoops from Danny Mac and enters the words Hall of Fame Spoops, you'll be the winner. And I'll contact you and we'll make arrangements to get those passes in your hand.
Now, those went quickly last time, correct?
They went. In fact, interestingly, the person who won the passes actually went to your website and listened to the podcast before you ever tweeted it out. So there are people who are literally waiting for it to be posted. They don't even need to see the reference on social media. So whoever's listening to this first, you get it, you win.
I like it. Brian, always great stuff. This is one of the more popular segments that we have on the website, and we do this every Wednesday. If you want this to drop on any of your supported devices, just go to Scoops with Danny Mac and go to iTunes, have it drop on your favorite supported device, and it'll show up when we drop it on the website or on social media. Brian, great stuff, and we'll catch up next Wednesday. Thanks so much.
Talk to you then, Dan.